This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington, and coming up this hour on Africa News Tonight.
The 21st International AIDS Conference, known as AIDS 2016, has opened in Durban, South Africa. About 18,000 people are expected to attend this week. The theme is Access Equity Rights Now. The conference was held once before in Durban, back in 2000.
That's VOA's Joe DiCapua reporting. We'll have full details on this story coming up. Also, 50,000 people are expected to converge on the Midwestern U.S. city of Cleveland, Ohio today for the Republican National Convention. The African Union Summit meeting in Kigali closes today with no new AU Commission chairperson. And four Kenya police officers are charged with murder in the June 23rd killing of a human rights lawyer and two others. We'll have these stories and more, so stay with us. There's lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story this hour, 50,000 people are expected to converge on the Midwestern U.S. city of Cleveland, Ohio today as the Republican National Convention opened this afternoon. Tonight's theme is Make America Safe Again. It comes during increased national turmoil over police shootings and the aftermath of violence. Already, protests are underway by extremist political groups from both sides of the political spectrum. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump's supporters and his opponents have repeatedly clashed outside the candidate's events in recent months. My colleague Vincent McCorry is in Cleveland covering developments. He spoke with me about tonight's expectations and concerns.
Certainly, Kim, you can expect that supporters of the Republican Party presumptive presidential candidate will use this as an opportunity to attack President Obama for what they consider as not having been as supportive of the men and women in blue. They're definitely going to mention all these incidents and, of course, see where they can hit hard at President Obama, and then by extension, of course, imply that Hillary Clinton should not be elected president because she'll pursue the same positions and the same policies as President Barack Obama.
I understand one of the headliners tonight is Melania Trump. Do you know what her focus is going to be?
We know that, first, this will be a great opportunity for her to showcase what kind of first lady she could become, being really a non-traditional first lady. You know, having been a model, she's a naturalized immigrant. She's expected to present her husband as a strong man. In the past, she's been heard saying that Mr. Trump is a man who does not take any punches lying down, that if you attack him with one punch, he'll give you 10. Because he believes in fighting, and therefore he will fight for the Americans if they elect him. We expect to hear such a strong speech from her. There is a likelihood of making references to fighting against Islamic radicalism so that he can make America great again. Of course, along with other speakers who are slated to speak this evening.
Looking at the city of Cleveland, I understand the police department has really put a lot of effort into making it a safe place to be tonight. So how has the Cleveland Police Department really beefed up security?
Along with the 500 or so dedicated force here in Cleveland, the city of Cleveland has brought in roughly 2,500 law enforcement officers from as far as California, Florida, and Texas to bolster the security here. And if you look at the security checks around the city, they are thorough. Going through the checkpoints, for example, to get to the arena where the convention is taking place, or even at the venue where journalists are working from, it is a tough thing. I mean, they open up the bags. They have to go through every little thing in that bag. Cameras have to be turned on. They have to make sure every cable is what it's supposed to be. And one other thing, you know, there have been many, many road closures, blocks upon blocks from the convention center and also the Quicken Loan Arena where the convention is taking place have been cordoned off just to ensure that nobody is getting any closer there except those who have reason to be going to the arena itself, like the delegates and the journalists. But even getting there is a painstaking process just because the security is such thorough in their checking. It's not easy to get anywhere closer to the arena where the convention is taking place.
So, of course, there is the expectation that there will be protesters there. So I guess these protesters will be kept far from the convention site. And also, what kind of a mix of protesters are they expecting tonight?
First, there were protests yesterday, for instance, and this was a mix of the Black Lives Matter protesters, but also there are some anti-Trump protesters. We expect to see more of that. Of course, they're protesting away from the arena because the arena has been cordoned off. There are areas of the street where they're allowed to protest, but we expect a mix of that. In fact, there was even talk of the new Black Panthers, and then there are the Oath Keepers, along with the supporters of Mr. Trump, of course. They're expected to be in the protest there. We expect the situation to get explosive a little later today, possibly, but that will be a little bit away from where the convention is taking place.
That was my colleague Vincent McCourty speaking from the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. Well, the convention promises to be one of the most closely watched political gatherings in recent memory. The convention is expected to climax on Thursday night when businessman, reality TV star, and self-proclaimed outsider Donald Trump is expected to claim his party's nomination for president. But what is a political convention in normal times? And how might this year's gathering stack up against historical trends? VOA's Adam Phillips asked two experts for their views.
Journalist, presidential historian, and best-selling author Jonathan Alter has attended nearly every national political convention since 1976. He says the notion that political conventions represent a sort of rough-and-tumble democratic debate over whom to nominate is mostly a myth.
Nowadays, conventions are mostly elaborate television shows, and they no longer have much of a deliberative process in actually selecting the nominees. You have to go back to 1952 for the last time a convention had more than one ballot.
Alter is talking about a so-called contested convention, when the identity of the nominee is unknown at the time the convention opens. So the delegates from each state, from elected officials to ordinary citizens selected by their local party organizations, vote to select the nominee. If no candidate gets over 50% of the delegates' votes, there is a second ballot, then a third, and so on. Meanwhile, delegates cajole, argue, and strategize to get other delegates to select their candidate. Alter says that disputes over whom the nominee should be were not always settled democratically.
Many of them were resolved in what are called smoke-filled rooms. When the convention was deadlocked, the party big shots, the party elders, would get in a room, 6, 8, 10 people, and they would cut political deals and throw their support in exchange for a cabinet position. They would wheel and deal, and then they would come out with some kind of agreement, and then there was still great drama and excitement when they took the roll call to see how the delegates voted.
According to presidential historian and Pulitzer Prize-winning author Doris Kearns Goodwin, those smoke-filled rooms began to clear out just prior to the Republican convention of 1912. That's when Theodore Roosevelt, who had been president 4 years earlier, wanted to challenge the sitting president, William Howard Taft, for the party's presidential nomination.
And he knew that Taft, as the sitting president, would have the party leaders on his side, and the delegates would be already tied up from the party to support Taft. What Teddy Roosevelt believed was that he represented the wishes of the people as a whole. So he led a crusade to create primaries, which meant that the states could decide for themselves who they wanted to send to the convention rather than the party leaders deciding who to send.
Theodore Roosevelt won a majority of those primaries, but Republican Party elders chose to nominate Taft at the convention anyway. Roosevelt then started his own party, the Progressive or Bull Moose Party.
And then, of course, the two ran against each other, and they both lost to the Democrat Woodrow Wilson. So the incredibly interesting thing today is that had the party leaders chosen their nominee in the old system, There's no way they would have chosen Mr. Trump. They would have probably chosen Jeb Bush, the brother of former President Bush. But primaries were won by Mr. Trump. So you see that same battle right now, a lot of Republican Party leaders wanting a different choice than the primary choice.
Kearns reminds us that American political parties are not official government affairs. They are essentially huge private clubs.
Absolutely. I mean, the parties make their rules. They can change them every 4 years. They could change them this year if they wanted to, except for the fact that there is this sense of legitimacy on the part of the nominees that the people have chosen. So they would have to fight the presumption that they're doing something wrong.
This reveals a basic tension in America's democracy. On the one hand, there's the idea that the will of the people must be respected. That view assumes that the populace understands the issues at stake and is able to make an informed choice over which candidate will best serve the interests of the people and the nation.
What worries me is that the system depends now so much on which candidate has more money, which one makes the most interesting remark at one of these debates. The question is, are the people really focused? Do the people really think about it in the long term?
Yet history also shows that concentrating political power in the hands of party elites has its own dangers.
That was partly what people were revolting against when they created the primaries, the feeling that the party leaders were, in a certain sense, in league with big business or with moneyed interests. Now, of course, people will say, well, so are the candidates. So, you know, both systems have their strengths and weaknesses.
According to Jonathan Alter, this week's Republican National Convention in Cleveland promises to be anything but conventional. The challenge for the Democrats will be to make their convention interesting, he says. I don't think the Republicans are going to have that problem. Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.
You're listening to African News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington. While African heads of state wrap up the African Union summit in Rwanda's capital, Kigali, today, key items on the agenda included the conflict in South Sudan and the election of the new AU Commission chairperson. But that election was suspended after none of the candidates won the necessary two-thirds majority. Nick Long reports from the AU summit in Kigali.
It was widely predicted that none of the three candidates for the post of AU Commission chairperson would win the necessary two-thirds of votes in the election Monday. Speaking to media, an AU commissioner, Martial de Paul Ikunga, confirmed this outcome.
Le vote a eu lieu. Il y a eu 51 pays qui sont exprimés.
He said the vote went ahead, 51 countries took part, 28 of those countries abstained, and 23 expressed a preference. But 23 is not two-thirds. So the rules of the African Union were respected, he said. It is reported the Botswana Foreign Minister Pelonomi Venson Moitoi topped the poll in the first round with 16 votes, while Equatorial Guinea Foreign Minister Agapito Mbamukui came second with 12, and Uganda's former Vice President Specioza Wandira Kazibwe picked up 11 votes and was eliminated in the first round. There is a precedent for this situation, Commissioner Ikunga told media.
Vous savez, c'est pas la première fois.
It's not the first time this has happened, he said. In January 2012, Jean Ping was asked to stay on as commission chairperson until June, when the current chair, Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, was elected. There are reports that Dlamini Zuma will be asked to stay on, amid speculation that she may decline and her deputy, Erastus Mwensha, might stand in as interim chairperson. A legal counsel to the AU said the procedure for appointing an interim chairperson is contained in Article 42 of the General Assembly's rules and procedures. Other outcomes of this 27th summit of the AU, which ends Monday, will include a vote by the General Assembly on whether to accept Morocco's request to rejoin the Union. Morocco quit the AU's predecessor, the Organization of African Unity, in 1984 to protest its admission of the self-proclaimed Sahrawi Arab Democratic Republic, also known as Western Sahara, as a member. Morocco still lays claim to Western Sahara. The summit has also taken several steps to reinforce the African Union, including agreeing to a continent-wide tax to pay for the organization and launching an AU passport. And there may be a late announcement Monday on deployment of AU peacekeepers in South Sudan. Nick Long for VOA News, Kigali.
The 21st International AIDS Conference, known as AIDS 2016, has opened in Durban, South Africa. About 18,000 people are expected to attend this week. The theme is Access Equity Rights Now. The conference was held once before in Durban back in 2000. VOA's Joe DiCapua reports.
International AIDS Society President Chris Behrer says while much progress has been made against HIV/AIDS, much more needs to be done.
Millions of people are still being left behind. More than a million people still die of HIV/AIDS every year, and another 2 million become newly infected with HIV. Concerning data released last week show that overall, new HIV infections among adults have stalled, failing to decline for the last 5 years. Newer prevention tools like PrEP are out of reach for the great majority of people who could benefit from them.
The professor of epidemiology at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health is the international chair of AIDS 2016. Behrer says stigma and discrimination continue to block access to treatment and prevention.
The human rights of those at greatest risk, gay and bisexual men, transgender people, people who inject drugs, sex workers, and prisoners, are persistently violated throughout the world. And these key populations now represent more than a third of new infections worldwide. That's why the theme of AIDS 2016, Access, Equity, Rights, Now, throughout this week, we'll be putting these words into action.
Also welcoming delegates to Durban is local co-chair Olive Shosana, head of the South African Human Sciences Research Council. She says in 2000, South Africa had one of the highest HIV prevalence rates in the world. She says after the conference was held in the developing world for the first time, things slowly began to change.
The landmark AIDS 2000 conference in Durban, it served as a catalyst for historic change. It launched a global movement to bring life-saving HIV treatment throughout Africa and the developing world.
She says, however, that while deaths from HIV/AIDS have fallen, it is far too soon to declare victory over the epidemic that officially began in 1981. Millions of people, she says, still need treatment. Shosana says the meeting will allow the world to take a hard look at what still needs to be done. Ban Ki-moon is attending the AIDS conference. This will be his last as UN Secretary General. Mr. Ban called for a new era to finally end the epidemic.
To end this epidemic, we must close the gaps that keep people from accessing services and living with dignity. We have to expand resources, science, and services. And we have to protect and promote the rights of people living with HIV.
Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa represented the South African government at the opening of the 21st International AIDS Conference. He noted that the conference opened on the birthday of former South African President Nelson Mandela.
Nelson Mandela's memory and the holding of this conference gives us all an opportunity to understand the gravity and of the epidemic while enabling us to look at a number of innovative solutions to ensure that we achieve an AIDS-free society in our lifetime.
UNAIDS Chief Michelle Sidibe says 17 million people are now receiving HIV treatment, but he fears much of the progress that's been made may be lost because donor funding has fallen.
Let me say clearly to all of you that I'm scared. I'm scared because we are back again in South Africa, in Durban, in difficult times. The world is facing many other competing priorities, terrorism, migration, so many issues.
He says if the downward funding trend continues, it will not be possible to end the epidemic by 2030.
The risk is that we'll have a rebound in this epidemic, and I cannot be dishonest with you. I need to say we will have a resistance. We'll be losing our investment. We will have to pay more later. We saw that with malaria.
16 years ago, antiretrovirals were scarce and expensive in South Africa. That lack of access was due in large part to then-President Thabo Mbeki denying HIV caused AIDS. The Treatment Action Campaign led the fight in the streets and in the courtrooms to make life-saving medicine available. And Kansani Mavasa is the current chairperson. She says great progress has been made in providing treatment, but warns many people are not taking their medicine every day.
We are having challenges when it comes to adherence. We are having patients that are untraceable, of which it indicates that we're still having challenges. It's not only in South Africa, also in other African countries we are encountering those kind of challenges.
Mavasa also spoke of the global challenges.
We know that globally 6,000 people are infected daily. We know that currently yearly 2 million people are getting infected. That means we are not yet there. We're still having challenges when it comes to prevention. It's not only in South Africa, also in many other countries, African countries, we know those things are happening.
The final speaker at the opening plenary session of AIDS 2016 was Academy Award-winning actor and South African Charlize Theron. She is the founder of the Charlize Theron Africa Outreach Project and is a United Nations Messenger of Peace. She called for more attention to be paid to teenagers.
Until we actually effectively reach these young people and get them effectively engaged, to empower them, to want better for themselves, to have the tools, the resources to do that, nothing is going to change in the fight of this epidemic. We will be maintaining AIDS. I believe that reality is with the youth. I think they will be the generation, if we bring them into the room and if we let them truly be part of this conversation, who will be the generation to end AIDS.
The International AIDS Conference ends Friday, July 22nd. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
And in more news around the continent, four Kenya police officers have been charged with murder in the June 23rd killing of a human rights lawyer and two others. The High Court today charged the policeman with the death of Willie Kamani, his client Josephat Mwenda, and the driver of their taxi. Their bodies were found in a river near the capital, Nairobi. A week later, an autopsy showed signs of torture. The killing sparked outrage directed at a police force plagued with a history of corruption and suspected extrajudicial killings. The killings have been condemned by Kenyan and international human rights organizations. Kenya's official rights body says national security forces carried out 25 extrajudicial killings between 2013 and 2015. And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports coming up at 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and our engineer, Wagner Roberts, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Did you know that more than 1.6 million people acquired HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, in recent years? More than half of those infected were under 24 and most of them were young girls. You can protect yourself from HIV. If you're a man, use a condom every time you have sex. If you're a woman, insist that your partner use a condom. And whether you're a man or a woman, talk to your health provider about an HIV test.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Next on Let's Talk, the marathon. Do you know where the name for the race came from? Have you ever participated in one? Join host Sunday Shumari and his guests discussing Marathon. This light-hearted show covers the topics of your interest. Let's Talk comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA.